Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. A hard drive has been stolen from an exclusive club containing the personal details of members such as Stephen Fry and Lord Rees. The U.S. government is funding mind control chip research. Getting a drone for Christmas? If you're in the UK, you may have to consider new legislation coming this spring. Uber's driver and customer data has been compromised, and they've paid hackers to try and cover it up. And Skype has been removed from app stores in China. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. Members of an exclusive club that is restricted to selected graduates of Oxford and Cambridge universities are being warned that computer data containing their personal details is feared stolen. The club believes that a backup hard drive has been taken from a locked room inside its London headquarters. The information stored on it is said to include names, home addresses, phone numbers, and some bank details. The 5,000 members, including celebrities such as Stephen Fry, have been affected. Both the police and the members have been notified and private investigators hired. Although the Duke of Edinburgh and Prince of Wales are honorary members of the club, data about them has not been exposed, according to The Telegraph. However, it did add that Lord Rees, one of the country's leading astrophysicists, is among those thought to be affected. The UK's Information Commissioner's Office says that companies need to protect their patrons' data, suggesting the use of encryption as well as ensuring that quality doors and locks are used. Wow. So, like, an actual situation where information has actually, like the hard copy has been stolen.
Oh, yeah. We had this happen at a Canadian government office. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's
right. A few years back when I think it was, like social insurance numbers and everything. And
yeah, and if I recall correctly, it was, like, potentially an Interpol type thing because he was hanging out with a girlfriend from another country or something.
Oh, wow. Well, the details. But it's just a hard drive full of data. So here, you know, 5,000 members and the hard drive has the data on it.
Right. I wonder if it's an employee then, if it's a locked room.
I wonder if, in a very exclusive club. So if it wasn't an employee, it's got to be somebody who's a member of the club. And these are folks that are not probably in need of
cash.
Stealing a hard drive.
Right. I feel like they're implying that encryption wasn't done. Like the hard drive wasn't encrypted.
They're not really saying. They did say that it was password protected.
Okay.
But what that means, I mean, is it an Excel spreadsheet with a password on it that can easily be brute forced?
Right.
Who knows?
That's the thing.
That's not the last of this, I would say.
Oh, not
likely. Definitely not.
Yeah.
Right. All right. The Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, is funding researchers who are working on some kind of mind control chips that can be inserted into human brains to fix mood disorders. The researchers from the University of California and Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston have reportedly begun testing closed-loop brain implants. These neural implants use artificial intelligence algorithms to detect various mood disorders and to deliver electric shocks to jolt a person's brain back into a healthy state. The implants, which generate electrical pulses to control human feelings and behavior, can stimulate the brain to treat mental disorders, including dementia and Alzheimer's. Experts also believe that the chips can be beneficial to patients with a whole range of health issues, like Parkinson's disease and chronic depression. The chips have already been tested on 6 volunteers who have epilepsy and have electrodes implanted in their brain to help researchers track what is happening inside their brains throughout the day. As part of their trial, the researchers tracked the volunteers' brain activity and moods in detail over the course of 1 to 3 weeks and eventually created an algorithm to decode these changing moods. Further analysis helped the researchers discover that delivering shocks to areas of the brain that involve decision-making and emotions can significantly improve the participant's performance in set tasks, such as matching images of numbers or identifying emotions on faces. The group is currently working with neuroethicists to address the moral implications of the project.
That's my big concern right there, is the moral ethics of the project. I mean, I think it's cool if you can get a little chip that, you know, potentially could eradicate some of those things like epilepsy.
Parkinson's.
I mean, that'd be amazing. But, I mean, how quickly could you turn around and be like, well, we're just going to implant this into our soldiers and suddenly you're controlling people.
What if you're doing it afterwards and controlling some PTSD?
How is this going to play into marriages?
Always happy all the time.
Look at my face. Look at my face. Do I look happy?
Do you recognize this emotion?
No, I'm not happy.
with every implant, you get a free marriage certificate.
Wow.
I love the idea of this, like, to help against something like chronic depression or epilepsy or Parkinson's.
Sure, drug-free.
Right?
Drug-free solution.
Yeah. And what is the brain but like the organ that is an electrical impulse machine? It makes sense that it would
be. Oh, but it's
like,
too complex. We don't understand it. You can't just open a computer and say, okay, what's wrong with this? I'm going to start short-circuiting some of the electrical components.
Well, see, and some of it isn't like, I'm thinking something like depression.
Right.
You know, that's a serotonin level. Like, that's not something that you can, you know, fix with a shock to the brain. I mean,
well, perhaps maybe it's not the serotonin that's the problem. It's the like the reuptakers, like the because a depression drug is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. So the serotonin gets eaten too much.
This is what it must feel like to hear me talk about computers.
It's true!
I was listening to the radio on my way into the studio today, and interestingly enough, there was a show on where people were in the audience were asking questions, and then they had professionals in the industry answering these questions. It was really quite entertaining and informative. And one of the questions was, what is the cause of chronic pain? And how does it exist if there is no injury?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the response from this professional from a university, I didn't catch their name or anything like that and didn't even intend to speak about it, said that it is actually the neurons in the pain receptors and everything else misfiring and providing the wrong information. So you think that there's pain and your brain says there's pain and you feel the pain, but the pain doesn't exist. And so they can't diagnose it. They can't fix it. They can't, you know, what do you do?
Well, it's like, you put a little chip in there and you shock the brain.
What if?
And then there's no pain.
How many war amputees have that, what's called phantom limb syndrome?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, so I mean, there's a lot of potential good that can come from this. But I go back to my first comment, the moral implications. I think this could go real bad, real fast if it's not reined in.
Right, which is why I'm happy they have some, was it neuroethicists on?
Yeah, that was good to see.
But but like anything, where's the line and who gets to control the technology?
I would volunteer for this. I would volunteer to have it done, and here is why. Because it said it increased performance in numbers and functions. Could you imagine if finally, after getting a chip implanted in my brain, I would understand the things that Robbie said?
I don't think it works that way, Sash.
I don't think so either. But
it helps you to focus.
But take this to the next level. I mean, we already know all the analytics that come from cell phones and your web usage. Imagine having that integrated with the chip that reads your emotions.
That's it. It reads emotions and it interprets.
Yeah, because it's an AI. I mean, if it then goes, hey, I can manipulate you from a marketing standpoint and invoke these emotions.
Yeah.
With these, I mean, like, the sky's the limit with this technology. But man, could it go bad?
And you think, well, they can't control people's minds. They can't put thoughts into your head and say, you know.
But they can certainly walk you down the road.
Well, here's a suggestion. Do this or steal right. that or beat up that guy. They can't do that. It's not that kind of mind control. Mm-hmm. But have you ever been, you know, on your way to work, you're feeling pretty good, and some idiot cuts you off, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, there goes your day.
Yeah.
You know, or somebody, you know, something happens. Somebody mistreats you when you're checking out for your coffee or something. And it can ruin your day. And then it affects, in turn, your attitude and the right. way that you treat other people throughout that day. And, you know, because read the shirt, folks.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard to regulate emotion in situations like that. The facial recognition for moods would probably be great for people who suffer from something like Asperger's and where sure. they have a really hard time empathizing because yep. they don't easily read emotion on others.
So very zap them. Great. So zap them. We'll have to see what comes of it anyways.
All right. Thinking of getting a drone for Christmas? Just a heads up. You may need to qualify to fly in the UK under a new legislation planned by the government. Drones weighing more than 250 grams could also be banned from flying near airports or above 400 feet in a crackdown on unsafe flying. Police will also be given new powers to seize and ground drones which have been used in criminal activity. The bill has been welcomed by the pilots' union, which has warned of near misses involving drones and aircraft, saying that there have been 81 incidents so far this year, up from 71 in 2016 and 29 in 2015. The union's general secretary, Brian Strutton, said these proposals are a step towards the safe integration of drones, but until the new rules are in place, the threat of a serious collision remains. The proposed bill, to be published in the spring, would ensure that owners of drones weighing more than 250 grams would need to register and take a test. Wow. I wonder if that'll be like a written test or a flying test or just
oh, wouldn't
like
that
a-
be cool? Yeah, it's actually a race. All right, fire up your drones. Flying through a course or something like that. No, I think it's literally just registration and answering the test like a G1 or something.
It's time.
Yeah. It's like a written test, yeah.
It's time for that for sure.
Yeah.
The UK's information commissioner has huge concerns about Uber's data policies and ethics following a breach that exposed the details of 57 million customers and drivers. Uber did not tell anyone about the breach and actually paid a ransom to hackers to delete the data. Deputy Commissioner James Dipple-Johnson said that these actions were unacceptable. The ride-sharing company does have a resource page for those who may be affected. Deputy Commissioner James Dipple-Johnson said the Information Commissioner's Office would work with the National Cybersecurity Center to determine the scale of the breach and how it affected people in the UK, as well as considering the next steps that Uber needed to take to comply with its data protection obligations. Next year, EU countries will radically alter data protection laws to offer consumers greater control over the data that they share with companies. Mm. Wow. So Uber not only kept the breach a secret, but then paid a hacker, I guess, to... Yeah.
See...
That's icky.
When it comes to Uber, I feel like they've just had about 12 months of complete butt-kicking on just screwing up front on various levels.
Right.
Like, every time they got ahead, something went wrong, and they... My feeling is they dealt with it not necessarily correctly, and this is just another step in the case, and it's too bad.
If you pay a hacker to, I guess, if you pay a hacker, then how do you know? How do they have proof that the hacker deleted the data?
I just assure you. Oh yeah.
Was the hacker?
I deleted that data.
Yeah. Or was the hacker the one that actually leaked the story? Right now they have the data and the money.
It was probably an ethical hacker that they knew or had reference to. Yeah.
Do you think so?
Maybe.
They paid a ransom. So that's not very ethical.
Now we talked about. We talked about them. No, that was DJI. I'm mixing up my stories.
Yeah.
It makes me think about DJI's story last week and how a hacker was using the bug bounty program to show that, or to, you know, submit a bug.
Yes.
And had connected. I wonder if it's a similar case to that.
Oh, that's true. I never thought of that.
Yeah. So in this particular case, though, I mean, we got to look at the fact that this is, over a year ago that this occurred?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now the question comes up, well, why are we just hearing about it now? Who leaked the information? I mean, not every news source is telling where the story came from. But in fact, is it the CEO or not the CEO, but the head honcho anyways at Uber, it was replaced. Maybe it was the CEO.
Yeah, that wasn't
in September.
Yes. Yeah, that wasn't too long ago. So that could be part of it.
And so he actually, first of all, fired the folks that covered it up.
Yes.
But also then released a press release letting people know that, hey, this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened not under my watch, but under the last guy's watch.
Yeah.
And, so that plays into it as well.
Yeah.
So he's trying to clean up, I think.
Mm-hmm. Which is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great service, so I hope that they get it together and they're able to continue.
That's the thing is, I mean, they do offer a good service. It's like, man, some bad calls have been made.
Mm-hmm. Right. Speaking of a good service, Skype call and messaging service has been removed from app stores in China, including the Apple App Store. Apple says it's one of several apps to have been removed after the government said it does not comply with local law. Skype owner Microsoft told the BBC the app had been temporarily removed and the company was working to reinstate the app as soon as possible. The app is also no longer available for download on Android app stores in China. Media reports suggested disruption to Skype started in October. Apple said in a statement, "We have been notified by the Ministry of Public Security that a number of voice-over internet protocol apps do not comply with local law. Therefore, these apps have been removed from the App Store in China." Skype, when downloaded from outside China's firewall, has been seen as a semi-secure way of discussing sensitive topics away from the eyes and ears of China's state security. Skype is just the latest in a string of foreign-owned digital and internet platforms, including Alphabet's Google, Facebook, and Twitter, which are unavailable to Chinese users.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What do they do in China if they don't have like Twitter and Facebook and
they
Skype?
Have their own stuff.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
And it's government monitored and government controlled, regulated and recorded and everything else.
But do you think that it'll ever be allowed? I guess maybe if Skype allows it to be monitored. Maybe.
Yeah, that would be the thing. If Skype were to put servers in China and make them monitorable by the government, then...
But see, the way things work, though, is when there's an app that works well, somebody in China comes up with their own version of it.
I mean, right.
You see it all the time. So it's only going to be a matter of time before they have their own version of Skype, which will then have integration with regular Skype. But because they'll be their back-end
But they won't
stuff.
Be allowed to do integration. They won't be able to tap into calling to Skype, because that's the whole thing. It's about regulating. Although, as you say, if it was a regulated app that was connected to Skype, then that app could be monitored.
Yes. By I bet you it'll happen.
It could. Yeah. I can't see... that's such a hard thing. Could you imagine being a software developer and releasing something like Skype, maintaining its servers, maintaining the service, making it so that I can call China for free, and then having them just shut it down?
Yeah, I mean, there's potentially billion-plus customers right there.
Wow.
I cannot imagine. Wow. China's a big country. You want to be able to market to them and to have services accessible. So maybe Skype will come up with a way of making it far more accessible and then be allowed to reintegrate.
Yeah. I think about all the like foreign exchange students and everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's how we communicate back with you know, parents and family members and stuff. So it'd certainly be tough. Tough on them.
Well, I mean, there's different apps you can use. Like, I know with some of the online games that I play, you know, we keep connected outside with an app called Discord, and it's got video chat, too.
That'll be blocked if it isn't already.
Well, there's lots of users from China.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, you've got Kakao, which is also a Chinese chatting app. I believe they've just added video integration. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, there's lots of other ways around it. It's no different than, like, WhatsApp or whatever. So, I mean, there are other ways, but,
For now. Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.